May I say briefly but very sincerely how very pleased I am to be with you again and to share with my friend and your minister in this service, as I have done before. He said to me when he asked me to speak at this evening service, we'll only just have a handful of people there for the evening service. Some handful. And certainly some singing. You people sing here, you really do. And I believe that's from the heart. Turn with me, please, to the Gospel according to Matthew and chapter 24. Matthew and 24, a well-known chapter, I'm sure, to all of you here who know and love your Bibles. It's about what we've been singing, the coming of the Lord. Matthew and chapter 24. I'm going to read just a few verses from the Word of God. Verse 29, immediately after the tribulation of those days, shall the sun be darkened, and the moon shall not give her light, and the stars shall fall from heaven, and the powers of the heaven shall be shaken. And then shall appear the sign of the Son of Man in heaven, and then shall all the tribes of the earth mourn, and they shall see the Son of Man coming in the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. And he shall send his angels with a great sound of a trumpet, and they shall gather together his elect from the four winds, from one end of heaven to the other. Now learn a parable of the fig tree. When his branch is yet tender, and putteth forth leaves, ye know that summer is nigh. So likewise ye, when ye shall see all these things, know that it is near, or he is near, even at the doors. Verily I say unto you, this generation shall not pass till all these things be fulfilled. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word shall not pass away. But of that day and hour knoweth no man, no, not the angels of heaven, but my Father only. But as the days of Noah were, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. For as in the days that were before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage, until the day that Noah entered into the ark, and knew not, until the flood came and took them all away, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. May God be pleased to bless his own precious and holy word to us each one. I want to try tonight, in just a few moments, to speak to you from verse 37. But as the days of Noah were, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. I'm sure that we all recognize and realize here tonight that it's important to know and to realize that the Lord Jesus Christ is coming back again. I believe that this truth is sadly neglected in these days in which we live. There are those who don't want to believe it. There are those who do not believe it. There are those who try to spiritualize it away and say it's at conversion or some special occasion or even at death. And there are far too many who know little about the second coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Those of us who do believe it and seek to preach it are accused sometimes of having one string to our bow, but that's not correct at all. We want to lay stress where Scripture lays stress. And we know this, that the Word of God speaks much about the second coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. I believe that the study of prophecy or to the second coming of the Lord Jesus will do us all good. The Word of God tells us that it purifies us. Whosoever hath this hope within him purifies himself. It tells us that it gives us urgency to our work. If we're watching and waiting, then we're urgent in our diligent and in our work for the Lord Jesus Christ. And also we know that in the book of Revelation, there is a special blessing, not only to those who read the book of the prophecy, but also to those who look and hasten the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. My friend tonight, let me remind you that the Bible not only teaches us that Jesus was born of a virgin, that he lived a sinless life, that he went to the cross as our sacrifice and as our sin bearer, that he rose again triumphant over the dead, that he ascended up into heaven with a great shout and a mighty triumph, that today he sits at the right hand of God, ever living to make intercession for us as our great high priest. But it also teaches that one day, in this sin-stricken world, this world of uncertainty, this world which is so full of iniquity, the trumpet of the Lord will sound, and the dead in Christ shall rise, and the sky shall part asunder, and the Lord Jesus Christ will come in great glory and in great triumph. In London recently, a leading scientist said this. He said, "Now I see that the end of man draws nigh." Man in Holland said he saw in a vision the words painted in the sky, "Jesus is coming." We don't need a scientist. We don't need a man to see visions. We've got the Word of God in our hands. And the Bible tells us Jesus is coming again. You'll remember Enoch was the first prophet. And Enoch said these words. He said that he saw the Lord coming, or cometh, with 10,000 of his saints. Daniel said he saw the Son of Man in the clouds coming. And we turn into the New Testament and we remember the promise of our Lord Jesus, who said, "If I go, I will come again." And you'll remember the angels as they stood and saw the Lord Jesus parting from earth, going into the sky, speaking words of comfort to the despondent disciples and saying to them, "This same Jesus whom ye have seen shall come in like manner." Oh, what a wonderful day that will be when the Lord Jesus comes again. A day of rejoicing, a day of reunion, a day of rewards for all those who know and love our Lord Jesus. Now, man has always been inquisitive, and we're no different from anybody that's ever lived on the face of the earth. And I'm sure that we've asked ourselves many times the question, when it will be the Lord Jesus will come again? Oh, how foolish some people have been when they've fixed dates and where they've tried to say when the Lord Jesus is coming again. I remember a man in my own country who, indeed, when I was in college, I remember receiving a pamphlet from him, telling us that the Lord had shown him the Lord would come in 1973. And many others have fixed dates when the coming of the Lord will be. But we can't do that, can we? The Word of God says, even in this chapter, "No man knoweth the day nor the hour when the Son of Man cometh. Therefore be ye also ready, for in such an hour as ye think not, the Lord will come." But the Lord does give us signs, and does give us indications. And therefore he says, when you see the signs, lift up your head. Your redemption draweth nigh. And tonight I just want to point very briefly to you to one sign. And it's the sign of Noah. The Word of God says, "But as in the days of Noah were, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be." And I don't believe there's any greater or clearer sign for the believer or for anyone in this world of ours to know that the coming of the Lord is very near indeed. Let me say, first of all, I want to speak about the prophecy that you see here. It says, "But as in the days of Noah were." This, of course, refers back to Noah's day to picture the future. The Lord says, "Look back to Noah's day. See what happened there. And then you will see the sort of days that will transpire and be just prior to the coming of the Lord." Now, what was it in Noah's day? We haven't got much time tonight, and I just want to remind you of the scriptures. You'll remember that in Genesis chapter 6, we have the story of Noah and the flood. And there are one or two things in that chapter which really seem to me to point and to paint the picture. First of all, you see the apostasy of the godly. We find that indeed the angels of God came into the daughters of men. Well, now that's a subject in and of itself and really to discuss together. But what really is pointed out there, it seems to me, is that which was of God was compromising and trying to mix with that which is of man. And certainly, whatever else you may believe what that means, there is a tremendous compromise there. There was no separation whatsoever. God had spoken to the nation and to the people that lived in those days. God spoke through Noah, the man who walked with God. His life was a testimony. His words were a testimony. God had spoken through Methuselah, even in the very day and the hour that he lived, even by his very name. And now God had spoken to Noah. And yet we know this, that the people in those days rejected God's way, refused God's warning, and it was a departure from the truth. And then there was something else. We know that the second thing was the evil of men. We read in the Word of God very strong language concerning the evil of men in the days of Noah. They had turned from his ways. There was lawlessness. There was no restraint. There was every conceivable sin committed in Noah's day. And then in the scriptures that we read, we have another hint, because here we read about indifference. We read about men and women being preoccupied. We read, as in the days that were before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage, until the day that Noah entered into the ark. Nothing wrong with those things, except that, you see, they were indifferent to the day in which they lived. They were preoccupied with these things. No time for God, no time for salvation, no time for worship, no time at all. Well, my friend, tonight, as we look at these things, can't you see that this is a picture of the day in which we live as well? The very things that happened in Noah's day, right down to the last detail, all how they seem to be applicable to the day in which we live. Now, what did God think about those days? Well, we read in that chapter 6 of Genesis that God was grieved. Not only grieved, but grieved that he'd ever made man. It repented him that he'd ever made man. Perhaps that's the most pathetic and sad verse in the whole of Scripture, that God came to a point where he looked down from heaven and said that it repented him that he'd ever made man. But what about man? I want to read this verse because it seems to me to show you just what man really thinks. This is what man said in those days. There were giants in the earth in those days, and also after that, when the sons of God came in unto the daughters of men, and they bare children to them, the same became mighty men, which were of old, men of renown, mighty men, men of renown. The eyes of God, it repented him. And yet in the eyes of men, we see that they were mighty men. Men of renown. Isn't this just what man is saying in this day in which we live? Look at us. My man boasts of his inventions. And his inventions are tremendous. We live in a push-button age. We can go to the moon with our rockets and further on. We can speak of all our achievements and our accomplishments. We can speak of the mighty acts and the mighty things which men have done. Mighty men, men of renown. And yet, these are days when Christ's prophecy have become true. There's evil which is great, lawlessness on every hand in our countries. So many cities that we can't walk the streets. In case of muggings and robbings and even murder, we can't walk these streets. And yet these are the same streets which speak of mighty men, men of renown. And more than that, look at the indifference. Look how men are preoccupied in these days and have no time for the Lord, no time for the Bible, no time for prayer. These are days of apostasy, you see. Days of apostasy in the churches. I don't need to remind you about that, but we know that there's compromise with the world, and that the church, generally speaking, has forsaken the truth. Preaching is given second place to entertainment. Oh, my friend, I know that. Even coming to your country and preaching in so many churches as I have done. The Bible is substituted by man's ideas. The prayer meeting is out and a rest by the television is in. And the church is asleep. And it's prior to the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, how we need to wake up. But I want you also to see in this chapter and this story of Noah that not only is there a prophecy of the Lord, but also a promise of the Lord. And the promise is this, you see, that Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. How wonderful it is that even in a day of great evil, when God's judgment was going to fall, and so many would lose their lives in great judgment, Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. I believe that brings encouragement to each one of us. That even in this day and age, God is going to call out a people for himself. The things are going to get worse. This world of ours is going to get worse. Evil and apostasy is going to get worse. These are perilous days in which we live. These are the last days in which we live. But there will always be a people which God will indeed bring out for himself. There'll always be a people who will find grace in the eyes of the Lord. Oh, we thank God for his electing mercy and grace in stooping down from heaven and gathering armfuls unto himself. And there'll always be a witness, because this is the promise of the Lord. And tonight we have that privilege of being those indeed who follow Noah. And in an evil day when the judgment of God is going to fall, that we have found grace in the eyes of the Lord. I wonder if there's any person in this service tonight who hasn't found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Because if you haven't, my friend, you need to come to the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, confessing your sins and receive the Saviour as your Saviour. And indeed, if you do that, then you too will find grace in the eyes of the Lord. But what a responsibility it is for every one of us in such a day and in such a generation, prior to the coming of the Lord Jesus, if we've found grace in the eyes of the Lord, to live as Noah did, and to be a witness and a testimony for his glory. And that leads me really to my last point, because here we have what I may term as the pointed application. But as the days of Noah were, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. And the verse 40 says, "Watch therefore, for ye know not what hour your Lord will come." You know, the word of God is not given to us so that we can keep a diary, is it, of events. It's not so that we can read our newspapers and mark it with a blue pencil and say, that's another fulfillment and that's another fulfillment. No, the word of God is given to us quite clearly so that we might be prepared and ready when the Lord Jesus Christ will come again. And every time the second coming is mentioned in the scriptures, and it's mentioned so many, many times, there is a warning attached to it. There's an exhortation attached to it. And the warning and the exhortation is, be prepared. Be prepared for the coming of the Lord. Be ready. Would you be ashamed, my friend, when the Lord comes? We know that we've got to appear before God and give an account of ourselves. How will you stand in that day? Is your life a life of holiness, of righteousness? Is your life well pleasing to the Lord? Is your life obedient to God? Notice how Noah prepared. First of all, of course I've mentioned this, but you'll see the way that he indeed lived. He found grace. He lived in that grace. You know, grace is described in many ways. It's like a river. Grace is like the atmosphere that we live in. And you and I have been born again. We should grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. That's the way. But then Noah is described in the same words with Enoch. And what words they are. Noah walked with God. Daily communion with God. Unbroken fellowship with the Lord. He walked with God. My friend, are you walking in intimate fellowship with God tonight? Do you know what it means to be separated and in your own individual life and you're walking with God? Noah worked for God as well. The word of God said, so did he. And in those little words, it tells the story of how God said, build the ark, build a ship. And yet people must have laughed at him and scoffed at him because here was a man who worked for 120 years to build this ark, and there was no rain. No rain at all. And yet he said God was going to flood. God was going to judge. And people said, but where's the promise? How can you say this? 120 years he worked and he worked and he worked. And he was a witness. Because as a witness he was a preacher of righteousness. He told them of their sin. He warned them of judgment. Can you see what we've got to do in these days in which we live? And my, how he watched. Watched in faith. Because Hebrews tells us by faith. By faith, he did these, warned of things not seen as yet. Yet he built an ark. He was the heir of righteousness. Why? Because God had told him to. And we've got to be like that. Have that sort of faith. And really believe God for all that we are doing. Oh yes, my friend. These are days prior to the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. I wonder if we're going to be ready. I wonder if we'll be ready in that day. Murray McChain came into his house one day and found some friends there. And they wanted to ask him a question, and they'd waited for him. And they said, "Mr. McChain, will Christ come tonight?" And he said, "I think not. I think not." And then he corrected himself by saying, "Well, even though I say that, the Bible says, in an hour that ye think not." Now all of us here tonight will say, "I think not." But the Bible says, in an hour that we think not, your Lord will come. Therefore, be ye also ready. Let us all pray. Let's just spend a moment in silent prayer before God. What sort of application does this message have for your life? Will you just face the reality of this message now in your own heart and life? Tonight, if there's someone here who's not saved, we invite you to come to the Lord Jesus Christ. Receive him as your personal Saviour. Pray the sinner's prayer. Pray with all your heart. We won't hear you, but God will. God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Will you pray that? God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Christian, there's something you've got to get right with God about. Confess it now and ask God to give you the strength and the help and the grace to live for him and for his glory. Loving Father, we thank thee for thy word to our hearts tonight. We thank thee, our gracious God, that thou art the God of the impossible. We thank thee, Lord, that thou art able to give to us grace, whereby we may serve thee. And we pray that thou help us in these days in which we live, to live lives which are honouring and glorifying unto thee. We pray that thou be pleased to dismiss us now with thy blessing. May the grace of our Lord Jesus, the love of God our Father, and the fellowship and fullness of the Spirit be with us each one until that great and glorious day when our Saviour will come again. Amen.